Welcome to the Motherhood Podcast, where I lift the lid on the real, raw and honest parts of mothering, motherhood and matrescence, understanding what we're going through as we transition from a woman to a mother and beyond. And being supported and guided through this is essential to thrive in motherhood. And hearing the challenges and struggles that others have encountered and overcome helps us make sense of our own lives and fosters a feeling of connectedness and inclusion. But today we mother largely in isolation and have been robbed of these essential parts of the mothering experience. I hope this podcast will make you feel less alone and that it inspires and empowers you to mother your own unique way to support you on your path of thriving in motherhood and beyond. We're all in this together. Let's do this. To my teachings. So I wanted to come on here and clarify some myths and give you some facts about that very thing, ambition and motherhood, and why it's so important that we as women know this so we can reach our full potential. So going back to matrescence, the transformation of a woman as she becomes a mother, into and through motherhood, and this isn't an overnight phenomenon, several months, it arguably lasts a lifetime, and it happens again and again as we become a mother with our second, third, so on child, and later on as our children become teenagers, as so it goes on and on and on, and I talk about more in my episode on matrescence. So understanding matrescence is a fundamental part of my work, and when our matrescence as a mother is fully supported by people that understand matrescence, it can really be a beautiful time to fully understand ourselves and live an awakened life. And when I say an awakened life, a life where we are connected deeply to ourselves, understand what's going on internally, and follow things that are right for us, amongst other things. And that is where the beauty of matrescence works alongside us as we return to work after having children. And really, it can then supercharge us into a truly successful life where we're dreaming big, we're hitting big goals, we are showing up in ways that align with us. And when we're showing up in a way that align with us, we are vitalized, we are fulfilled, we are energized. Other people really can feel the energy and they can vibe off that. But when mothers aren't supported through matrescence and don't fully understand the concepts that are affecting us in modern motherhood, it can be a difficult time. It can be really confusing. And I reference my own story of becoming a mother. It took me a long time to even decide that I wanted to have a child or children. I think it was possibly always in there, but I was focused on studying, getting my school results, getting good exams at school, going to university, and then coming out, finding a job, studying more, postgraduate degree, more work qualifications, and then cracking on with my work and career goals. And looking back now, I think that I subconsciously absorbed the messages that having a baby will impact your career, you won't be able to sort of get ahead and reach the goals that you wanted to, you'd be overwhelmed, burnt out, and just settling for second best, not prioritising myself. And I think it was almost that, okay, perhaps maybe I'll get to X level before I go and have a baby, because I know it will affect my career and I want to be able to come back to a good level, and knowing that I've got there without having a baby to hold me back, so to speak. So again, looking back, when I became pregnant, I don't think there was an exact moment, but I realized that what was going on for me at work, the things that I wanted to achieve at work, didn't really match up with how I was feeling now. So I was thinking, oh, I want to carry on and do that and do that. I became pregnant and I thought, really think I want these things anymore. What's wrong with me? Maybe I am just going to shuffle off into the background and be the supporting act to my child, who is the main act in the story. And I think that that led to the feelings of confusion about myself now that I'd become a mother. So this, I think this kind of carried on in the background, but I was focused on the birth, getting the birth right. That was very much my focus. So I didn't really think too much about work because I think for me, it was almost like there was a pre-planned route of what happens. You get pregnant, you go on maternity leave, you come back, and then you just kind of find your way through and go with the flow. And I wasn't seeing any other women doing it differently. There wasn't many other women in my industry, even within my business, that were becoming mothers. I also saw those women that had come back after maternity leave being treated differently and just really not much guidance or support for them. I mean, we talk about career coaches, and yes, they have their place, of course. But when it comes to a mother, there is so much else there. And again, matrescence is such a huge part of that, that if we aren't understanding and processing and reflecting on the identity part of it, that monumental transformation, let's be real here, then we are missing a whole part of it because the goals and career aspirations that we have change, and women need to understand that it doesn't mean that you're not ambitious anymore, that you're not determined, that you don't have big career hopes and dreams and feel fulfilled at work outside of the home. You can, we were told as young girls growing up, you can have it all. Coming out of an era where there was very few women in high positions in business of leadership and leading and running their own businesses, it was this, you go get them. And especially the background that I came from, I went to an all-girls secondary school, a grammar school, and it was very much about achievement. Of course, that's the premise of a grammar school, really. Achievement, high achievement, going into professions like law and medicine and engineering and cracking on with your goals, being successful and hustling, but actually trying to fit into a world that is created by men and dominated by men. And the career routes that were available and were there and were visible again, and the working culture was set for middle-aged white men who had a wife at home looking after the domestic load, the family load, the mental load, the invisible load, raising the children. So all he had to do was focus on his career. The mental space that he had was focusing on his career and goals. So being socialized into that as women, we push down our own traits, we push down our own wants and needs and desires. Don't be too feminine, don't be too loud, don't be too emotional, don't be too much, but be confident, be sure, be assertive, but don't be too bossy. Literally, the most conflicting messages. So, we have that bubble of the successful woman. So, this is over here, and this is what we are conditioned into as women. But then we also have the good mother over here, which is messaging about what it is to be a good mother. And this comes from our family, our immediate community, the news and media. And then today we also have the added layer of social media, which, you know, is 24/7 constant bombardment and people's highlight reels. And we live in a patriarchal society that likes to tell women how they should be, how they shouldn't be, what they should be doing, what they shouldn't be doing. And this messaging of a good mother is really damaging because in today's society, what is considered a good mother falls under what's also known as intensive mothering, whereby the mother is the person that should be solely responsible for the children's upbringing, educational welfare, emotional welfare, physical welfare. The mother is the only person that can appropriately give care to the children and should be raising them. Now, as we know, children were traditionally raised in communal societies, in villages. We shared the load. So we were mothered, and we were mothered by aunties, cousins, friends, lots of different people were involved in that. And our social structures have fractured, and we're mothering in nuclear families now. And the full load has fallen to those two parents, but really it's fallen to the mother. If a child's misbehaving, we blame the mother, and the school ringing the mother if the child is sick. There's so many examples in this. So we can see that we have what's considered a good mother over here, and that on its own is intense and has unachievable and unobtainable standards. So that on its own, if you were a mother without any external commitments or desires or work, is unachievable on its own, would lead to burnout on its own. We then have what is considered a successful woman over here. Again, this on its own, without any caregiving responsibilities, this on its own, as we know, often leads to burnout. So again, the values and the conditioning that come into what we consider being a successful woman, values that we have subconsciously adopted, also lead to burnout and unrealistic expectations and burnout. So we have the two. We're over here cracking on with our career, living in this bubble of a successful woman. This is what her career goals are. This is where she's wanting to achieve. And then we become a mother and we have this explosion of, oh my God, this is what it means to be a good mother. And the sheer weight and responsibility of that. And that for me was something that really tipped me into crazy, crazy overwhelm when I became a mother, because of the sense of responsibility that I am responsible solely for this child was too much for me. And for many other women, it can cause lots of anxiety and feelings like we're failing because we cannot live up to the unrealistic standards and unachievable standards that are set. So then when you have the two, you can then see we individually these are unachievable, unobtainable standards. So then when you put them together, it can be an absolute explosion of overwhelm, burnout. So we can see that the women that have forged on in their careers, perhaps after having children, the models that we have seen, we often hear this. They are achieving at high levels, but yet they are burnt out, overwhelmed, and exhausted because of the modern models of what it means to be a good mother, a successful woman. And we also have the background of patriarchal society on being a woman in general. We often feel judgments, or hear judgments even. We don't always even necessarily just feel them, we hear them from other people, judgments about our decisions, about whether we're going back to work or not going back to work, or how we return to work, or what our new working pattern looks like and what we want now. So we are constantly bombarded by all of this. And the place of work is, as I said, is not set up for women that have caregiving responsibilities, that will more often than not have a partner that has a job full time. So we can see that these models of work culture do not fit. So women are left believing that they're less ambitious when they become a mother because they don't want the same things anymore, because they're looking at this potential career path ahead of them and thinking, well, if I do that in that way that a man has done before me, who had a partner at home that was looking after everything, I don't have that. I don't think I want that anymore. So then we internalize it, blame ourselves, and think there's something wrong with us, think that we are unambitious, lazy, uncommitted, and just that we don't want any of it anymore. So, again, leading to turmoil. And this was very much my story. I returned to work after maternity leave, and there was a big part of me that was looking forward to that return because I wanted to be challenged. I wanted my brain to be challenged. I wanted to feel like I was good at something because becoming a mother had been really painful for me, and I felt like I was failing. Now I know that that was the unachievable expectations that I was putting on myself. But nevertheless, I didn't know this at this point. And I returned to work thinking, okay, I'll just, settle back in. I've got my childcare sorted. and let's sort of crack on and go with the flow and it will all sort of work out. And months and months went by and I just didn't feel any different. And actually, I felt worse because I was almost trying to hide myself because I thought people are going to just think, oh, there she is, just another mother coming back from work and can't be bothered, just wants to be at home with her kid and doesn't want to be here. So lots of tears from me, lots of overwhelm, lots of blaming myself. And then it wasn't until I found Matrescence and studied this and understood about this, and then started looking at myself and my career goals, that I realised that it's not that I wasn't ambitious or determined or had big hopes and dreams. It was that everything that I'd previously wanted no longer worked for me. And actually, I had adopted career goals that probably were never right for me because, as I said, they were set in a time when the workplace was predominantly men and they had a wife at home looking after everything. When I got clear, I realised that I could choose. So, being guided through this and coached through this, I started to uncover what no longer worked for me and the things that I wanted. The things no longer worked for me were people pleasing, being a good girl, self-silencing, not speaking up and not saying how I really felt, hiding parts of me that made me me. Putting that mask on of everything's okay, not being too emotional at work, making sure I look professional, and all of those things that come with the condition that we have in our society, not complaining, not speaking up, not questioning anything. And once I realised this, I couldn't stop seeing it. Once I saw it, I could no longer ignore it. I really, really examined all of it, all parts of my life, but specifically in this example, the parts of my life that related to career and fulfillment in that arena of what I wanted to achieve professionally for me, to challenge my brain, to make a difference in the world, to do something that I was passionate about and helped people and helped other women and mothers and communities. And I realized that all these hopes and dreams were coming out of me and spilling out of me. And once they started, the things that no longer served me just really felt so alien to me. And again, once I saw them, I could no longer ignore them. It gave me a laser focus on what was important to me and meant I could let go of the things that no longer served me. I wrote my own version of success, and I'm still writing it now. It changes as I change and grow, as my daughter changes and grows, and things in my life look different. But things like being present with my daughter, I went to her sports day yesterday, being here for bedtime for her in the morning. I want to see her every day, morning and night. I want to be there for those important things at school, amongst other things. Just some examples there for you. But what's right for me isn't necessarily right for you. Perhaps you want to take that promotion, which means you get to travel more, and your partner is the one that takes on more of the caregiving at home. That's right for you. Somebody else might decide that actually they want to step away from work completely and have a period of time where they are fully at home with their children. Somebody else wants to change their hours. Somebody else wants to go into a completely different industry. And that is the beauty of matrescence, when we are fully supported and fully understand what it is and what is happening to us. We get to choose. Nobody else knows what's right for us. We can have guidance on things that are coming up for us. What does this mean? But you are the only one that can find the next steps for yourself that are right. For me, being able to be myself, bringing all of myself to work, not holding parts of myself back, that was a big part of a dream of mine because I had spent so long at work not really being the person I was. And really, I lost confidence. I just wasn't sure of myself anymore. Work lost its meaning. And it was quite a tumultuous time for me. But when I realized that I get to choose, it changed everything. It absolutely supercharged my ambition, my determination, all of it. I really got clear on what I wanted and what was right for me. And when I also got clear on what I wanted and what was right for me, and let go of people pleasing, being the good girl, and not saying how I really felt, I realized that I hadn't had many boundaries. And when I did have boundaries, I didn't uphold them and I let people break them, and then I would disappoint myself, and that would be a pattern of not trusting myself. This has been a huge part of my matrescence and understanding how this works and how this works at work as well for me. Being clear on, I want to be in that meeting. I'm not working on that day. You need to change the meeting because I'm a fundamental part of that meeting. Speaking up, saying how I feel, not being afraid, not apologizing for wanting to take that time with my daughter, not apologizing for not being in the office every single day, because for me, my values were aligned differently, and that was okay, and knowing that that was okay. The main last point I want to make is actually about value and the value of caregiving. So in our societies, whilst we are telling women that to be a good mother, you should be fully present in your child's life 24/7. You should be the one that is giving all of yourself to your child. You should be the one being the full caregiver. You should be the one where the burden lies. But then we also do not value acts of caregiving. So the hundreds and hundreds and thousands of hours that we put into looking after our children, raising our children, those acts of caregiving, the love that we give our children, the cuddles that we're giving them in the middle of the night, making them feel safe, tucking them back into bed, all the physical acts of caregiving, buying them new clothes, making sure they're eating nutritious food, socially, play dates, parties, taking them on trips, immersive experiences, holidays, travel, language, emotional development, supporting them with their feelings. And all of the things we know about raising healthy children today, and all of that, I've only mentioned a few there. Those acts of caregiving are not valued by society because they can't be monetized in the capitalist society that we live in today in the Western world, especially in the UK, the United States, many parts of Western Europe, and other places. We don't value the role of the mother or even the father as well, and other people that may have involvement in raising a child. Those acts of caregiving are not valued. So when we understand these contexts, the context of modern mothering, the good mother, the successful woman, the lack of value that we put on caregiving, when we are clear on all of this, we get really clear on what's right for us, what are our values? And you can articulate your value because you know and understand that it doesn't lie in you sitting at your desk for 12 hours a day when you know that you want to be picking up your child from school or taking them from school. And again, if somebody does want to be doing 12-hour work days, or I appreciate that many people do have to, doesn't mean that that is wrong if that is what you want to do. But it's understanding that if you don't want to do that, it doesn't mean that you're not ambitious, or it doesn't mean that you can't have a career of your dreams and of your goals. It just means that it will probably look different to how you initially thought. I want to add one more thing in here that we don't have time to talk about today, but I'll come and do another episode on this. And it is about the mental, emotional, and invisible load that women are carrying. We are doing more of the domestic work and raising children than their partners. And that takes its toll on the energy that we have to think about other things. So I will come on to talk about that in another episode, but that does have a factor in what we think is right for us next and what we believe we were able to give. So watch your space for that. I want to finish on the reasons that I'm so passionate that women understand that their ambition doesn't disappear when they have a baby or when they become a mother. It looks different. I am so passionate about this because women deserve to reach their full potential, of course, number one. But number two, we are losing brilliant women at an alarming rate, and it's still happening despite flexible working policies, which again, I will come and talk about, which are a sticking plaster over the bigger picture. We are still losing brilliant women from the workplace at an alarming rate. And that is aside from the women that are still staying in the workplace or in jobs that aren't right for them, feeling overwhelmed, burnt out, exhausted, because society doesn't tell women or doesn't show women, because they believe that there is something wrong with them, that they are lesser now that they are a mother, that they are not worthy, they are not worthy of dreams and living a life and having a brilliant career alongside having children. We're losing brilliant women and they are left feeling unfulfilled, resentful, and under challenged. And as a society, this is huge, because this means that businesses are losing money, which also means that our country is losing money from these women not reaching their full potential in roles that make a difference, that make more money for their families, for themselves, for their companies. We are losing the ideas of brilliant women because they are not supported in the ways that they need, because they're stepping out of the workplace and stepping down from higher level roles. They're stepping out of cultures that are toxic and not supporting them as a mother. And we're losing brilliant ideas and innovation. We're also losing women in positions of leadership because, again, many women are stepping down to lower positions because the demands of these leadership roles are unachievable or unobtainable when they have caregiving responsibilities at home, where they're taking on more than their fair share of caring responsibilities and domestic responsibilities, and they're stepping down. So we're losing those brilliant leaders, those empathetic leaders, and then we're losing role models. So the cycle perpetuates. I've loved doing this episode today and would also love to hear your thoughts on this and where it's showing up for you and whether this has thrown any light on how you're feeling. I know so many women feel the same, and that's why I'm passionate about doing the work to show you that becoming and can supercharge your career, and that you can achieve beyond your wildest dreams if you open yourself to the beauty that is matrescence and letting go of what no longer serves you and following the right path for you. See you next time. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoy this conversation and would like to support the podcast so we can reach as many mothers as possible, please share it with your mama friends or leave a rating and review. Sign up for the Confident Comeback newsletter, your regular dose of honesty, support, and inspiration for navigating your return to work. And with no hustle harder or productivity hacks in sight, head over to my website, motherhood.co.uk, for more information. See you next time.